from across the Volunteer State, the countdown to kickoff with your exclusive scouting report. Welcome to the Coach's Meeting. Coach to Coach.
There are games that you win and games that you lose, and then there are games where the opponent, just on that day, is better than you are. Doug Matthews, we witnessed a great two halves by Georgia Saturday. The Vols had chances in the game, but Georgia simply won this one.
Well, Georgia clearly the better team, and I mean clearly the better team in this game. Tennessee won the kicking game, really excellent in all phases. Georgia wins defense, Georgia wins offense, and quite frankly, if you look at the way the game was played, and we've watched Georgia play a lot because we knew this was going to be a big ball game at the end of the year. I don't think Georgia's come close to playing nearly as well as they played in this ball game. It was an outstanding performance, outstanding preparation, and outstanding execution by this Georgia football team.
Seen previously what we thought were some cracks in their armor for Georgia. This ball game, it wasn't only complimentary football. Every unit excelled, I think, played the best they have played all year as individual units. And then clearly, if you're doing that collectively as a team, and they were the better team in Athens. They were the better team that night, and that's just cut and dried.
Now, Carson Beck came into this year thoughtfully, thinking was he was probably going to be a high-round draft choice. Maybe in the Heisman Trophy chase, he really hadn't played very well for his capability. 63% passing this game, zero turnovers, two touchdown passes, plus he had a key run for a touchdown, three touchdowns overall. Three of the four touchdowns were all due to him. And he played like the player that we expected to see starting the season, by far, from the games that I've seen, his best ball game.
Georgia had a definite game plan to confuse the Vols, and you could see it right from the jump. Let's talk about offensively. They had multiple tight end sets that they used, had some unbalanced formations. They caused alignment problems for the Vols. They also went up-tempo on offense more than usual. They knew that the Vols were going to be in man-to-man defense, so they will get into how they used those multiple tight ends to be able to get open. And then plus, defensively, they play tight man all of the time and were denying easy access for the receivers. They had a definite game plan to play the Vols.
Listen, this is a Georgia team that has won two out of the last three national championships. They've won 34 straight, had won 34 straight games at home. They've won 35 now. Plus, they've had a top three recruiting class for each year of the last 5 or 6 years. So, most of all, they have players on this team, a bunch of them, most of them that played, that had championship experience. They knew what they needed to do to get back to where they want to get to, and boy, they did it Saturday.
I'm curious, when you're a coach, is there a difference in the way you feel after a game like Saturday night, where your guys played pretty well, but you just weren't equal to the task, versus a game where you feel like you beat yourself?
When you put an effort out there that you feel like, you know, in different circumstances would have been a winning effort, but the other team just performed better and beat you, that's what competition is at the highest level. And that's what happened in Athens. The competition played at a higher level at moments in games than you did. Not that you were playing poorly. Your competition just played better at moments when they had to.
The lessons from the Georgia loss are just ahead. Tennessee now at number 11, first team out of the playoff rankings. Look, there's plenty of football left to be played, and based on what we've seen so far this season, lots will happen over the next several weeks. But in general, what do you guys think matters more? How many losses you have, who you lost to, or who you have beaten?
I think the first thing that matters is how many games you've won. That's number one, how many games you've won. How many losses is next? Because, you know, the win-loss has always been the meter. This is an entirely different world they stepped into now with this multiple-team playoff. But also, a strength of schedule has to come in third, because clearly, when you start looking at it, There are going to be inequities right now as far as the strength of schedule opponents that you play. So those, in my mind, just in my mind, are the three things that matter the most.
I think three, the way I'd put them is this. Number one is winning your conference championship game. If you win your conference championship game Power Four teams talking here, regardless of the record, you need to be in the college football playoff. Number two is if you lose your conference championship game, you'll be playing one more game, and it is a competitive game, especially in the Big Ten and the Southeastern Conference. I think you need to be in. Well, people are going to say, well, what if you got three or four losses? You're not going to have three losses and get in the conference championship game. You're going to have one or, at the very most, two this year. And then thirdly, I agree with Mac on this, there should be some component in there of strength of schedule, both wins and losses. That's a little bit more difficult to do because what if you beat a higher-ranked team in the second game of the year, and at the end of the year, that team is no longer in the top 25? But those would be the three criteria. If I was sitting on that committee, and listen, one thing, they have, quote, guidelines they go off of, the College Football Playoff Committee. But basically, it's how that one person feels and, you know, and how he sees what they should be.
I almost wonder down the line if the playoff committee decides that these Tuesday reveals are really more trouble than they're worth, because it's an exercise in getting people all twisted and upset and trying to project your final grade when you're still taking the test.
Well, Larry, that's a very good point. But let me – you know what drives this. I think all of us do, yeah. And our listeners will understand this too. ESPN is driving all of these ranking shows because this is massive viewership right now. And ESPN's paying the freight. They're paying the freight for the way that this thing is set up now. I think the committee would rather work through all the scenarios and not have to do this every week out in the open, but that's the environment they are in right now. So there's monetary reasons in front of this, too.
It's about the money. Listen, there's a ton, and I mean a ton of dollars for the college football player. There's five of these Tuesday shows. It is in prime time for a reason. On a Tuesday evening, and that's a lot of advertising dollars. The thing for the teams are in this. There's also a ton of money that they're going to be. There's hundreds of millions of dollars that are going to be coming out of this when it's all said and done.
It's also interesting to hear Georgia coach Kirby Smart. He talked about this last Friday, that he's having to adjust the way he works with his team emotionally because of these polls. He says the rankings are producing ups and downs that they didn't see before, because you knew last year when there were just four teams, you just needed to make it to the SEC championship game. These reveals that have happened the last several years honestly didn't matter.
Well, what all of this brings into purview and brings into the environment, the coaches' jobs now are also to eliminate the outside opinions that don't matter and let the players know what their primary focus and mental preparation has to be to win. Explain as much as possible that the rest is as Saban would say, rat poison. You can't, you as a coach have got to help your players understand that all of this outside noise doesn't count. What we do inside here counts.
This is Coast to Coach with former University of Tennessee defensive coordinator Doug Matthews and former NFL defensive coordinator and head coach Dave McGinnis. Driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office. In Tennessee, fans don't let fans drive drunk.
When the arena lights dim for a concert, or when the crowd becomes one at a big game, you can almost feel like you're the biggest fan. But who's your biggest fan? It's the person that will get you home safely after a night of drinking. It's the person who looks out for your life to make sure you leave the stadium with someone sober. This could be a designated driver or someone who offers to get you a rideshare. Because in Tennessee, fans don't let fans drive drunk. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, a division of the Tennessee Department of Safety and Homeland Security.
Hi, I'm Dwayne Hardy of Forklift Systems. Whether you're a big-time college coach or run a business, to be successful, you need five-star talent. It's also true for your heavy lifting equipment. Forklift Systems will perform a free productivity, safety, and cost analysis of your fleet. We'll identify your MVPs and what you need to trade or cut. If you're not constantly improving, your competition is. Win championships with your customers. Visit ForkliftSystems.com today.
Hey there. I've been hired by the Tennessee Lottery to celebrate every time there's a
woohoo!
A winner across the state. Truthfully, it's a little more work than I expected. I had no
woohoo!
Idea that Tennessee Lottery players win an average of $3.6 million every day. That's
woohoo!
A whole lot of moolah. So play today for your chance to win
woohoo!
Big. The Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
At Great Clips, they know you got a lot going on, just like I have. That's why they save my haircut details and clip notes, so I can get the same haircut as the last time whenever I want. No stress, no worries, no questions asked. And with 60 salons in the Middle Tennessee area, it's easy to find a Great Clips location near you. I've been a client of Great Clips for over 10 years, and if you're looking for a great cut, simply download their online check-in app today. Great Clips, it's going to be great.
Coach-to-coach lessons as we wrap up the Georgia loss. Vols got out to a 10-0 lead in Athens. But from that point forward, Dave McGinnis, the offense really struggled.
Well, Larry, what Georgia did, they played a pressure defense and tight man versus the outside receivers. Let's start with that. And Georgia established their defensive MO early in the game. Press man, pressure up front to win in first and second down. Put the Vols behind the chains, deny clean access to wide receivers on releases. That is what they did from the start. From the beginning to the end of this ball game, that was their plan, and they executed it.
And when you play coverage like Georgia played, and remember, Kirby Smart's an old secondary coach, and they have talented people there, very, very tight windows to throw in. You don't have a big area, and most of the time you in man coverage, you're running crossing routes, things like that. You have to put that ball right there. And you make the quarterback have to be extremely accurate. That wasn't a big part of the game Saturday. Tennessee could not throw the ball accurately enough.
Well, the Vols only had one explosive play. That one explosive play, and 17 yards was their longest play offensively. It was a grind the entire game for the Vols offense. Nothing was consistent or easy for the Vols offense in Athens.
That is on the low end of a splash play.
That's right at the bottom of the scale on that.
But that was a big difference in the game. The inability of Tennessee's offense to get splash plays in the passing game, that was the big part of the game offensively for Tennessee.
And what Georgia did, and then the Vols, their wide receivers simply couldn't get separation.
Well, that's a big part of Georgia's strategy. They made it work from the start to the finish. No rhythm. They were not going to allow rhythm. This is a rhythm-throwing game. They played tight man-to-man. If you're going to make a throw against this, it has to be on target. And Coach Matthews is correct in this. There were some balls that were on target, but they were contested. The catches were made, but there was never any clear access runners.
One of the things you need, of course, is separation. And Tennessee, quite frankly, has had a problem with this all year long with separation. And some people, you know, say, well, they're not fast enough. Speed doesn't have really anything to do with that. What is getting away from people? Explosion and burst out of breaks. That is the key. Why? Speed is important, but to be able to get away and get separation from defensive backs is key. We see it on Sundays all the time. The best players, the best wide receivers in the NFL sometimes aren't the fastest, but they have that explosion and burst out of a break that gives that quarterback that window we've been talking about to throw into.
Well, the safeties for Georgia did a good job, too. It wasn't just a corner game for the Georgia defense. The Georgia safeties did a very good job of closing off the middle of the field routes. And they were instant run fills on attempted ground game. Very disciplined and precise safety play from Georgia.
Georgia plays the exact same coverage as that Tennessee plays. And what have we been talking about all year? You got to have two cornerbacks out there that go out and play a man, press man coverage, and not need any help from the safeties. Well, that's Georgia executed that well. Flip it over to the other side. Tennessee offensively has to be able to make plays to those two wide receivers outfield because they got one-on-one coverage. Unable to do it.
Big stat in that. Dante Thornton, no catches.
Well, he was a little beat up coming in, but he is their best deep threat. And he only had two targets in this game, the whole ball game, just two targets. He was averaging coming into this game 25 yards per catch. He has a team-leading 4 touchdowns, and they were unable to get the ball to him.
That's a big piece of your offense missing from those two guys, Thornton and Brazel, you know, being able to get down the field. It goes back to Georgia, really, really. They had a plan, and they executed it.
Great Nico's performance in this huge road atmosphere.
Let's remember what happened the previous Saturday. He had a concussion, slight concussion, was held out of the whole second half last week against State. He was in the toughest road atmosphere he has faced as a starter. Believe me, Georgia, he's had some other tough starts, but not like Georgia on that. The job that he did, if anybody has any question about this young man now, he went out and played a really, really good football game. And he ran fearlessly. He did, I think, a lot of great things. And, again, just looking at it from my perspective on it, I could not have been more impressed with the job that he did. When you consider you're playing a great defense, you're coming off an injury, you got your bell rung, you really didn't get all that many snaps until Thursday of practice week, which is not a big practice day. And to play like he did, got to be awfully he should be tremendously proud, Mac, of the job that he did.
Well, he was decisive in dealing with pressure looks, not only up front, but the inability to throw on time because of denial of access to the receivers. He ran when he could. He did not panic. He did not panic the whole game, and he kept competing. So, to me, this was a plus for the quarterback.
Well, it has to be a huge plus for him. Again, if I'm a player on that offense playing behind that guy, I feel great about the guy that's leading my offense.
Well, Georgia had five sacks, too. I mean, the pressure up front and the extra blitzers, when they did bring them, they continued to mount as the game progressed. And basically, Georgia won the line of scrimmage on defense.
They brought six most of the time. All that forced all one-on-one blocks, including the running back had to block somebody. There was lots of twists in there, tackle in stunt, in tackle stunt, that got somebody open with their rushers. And they brought two through a gap occasionally. But that, you know, five sacks and a bunch of quarterback hurries, it was an outstanding performance by that offensive front.
Field position, big statistic in this football game. Really, neither team got anything easy.
Well, both offenses had 75 or more yards to go to get a score. And it was one of the best field position games that I've seen for both sides. Tennessee, they had 10 drives in the game. Here's where they started. Their own 22, their own 18. They had a punt return down to Georgia's 37-yard line, which Georgia come in forced field goal. 25, 25, 25, 25, their own 7 and 18. Outstanding field position. But then you look over at Georgia, every single one of their drives started from their own 25 or longer. They had one on the 6, one on the 13. Bottom line is, it was an outstanding kicking day for both teams. Only one turnover in this ball game. And that was the last play of the game where it really didn't make any difference. But if you look at this and you look at this stat sheet and you just look at your side of you, say, man, if our opponent had 10 drives and every single one of them were 75 yards away, you got to feel really good about where you are. And both teams had that feeling in this game.
Well, the field position metrics, when you look at the field position metrics chart, which I always do after ball games, the kicking game, the field position metrics, was really won by both kicking units. Georgia was presented with long possession fields and had TD drives of 75 yards, TD drives, 75 yards, 84 yards, 87 yards, 92 yards. They were very consistent and relentless with that field position that they were presented. That was the story of the game.
Tight end Kinselman comes up big again.
I tell you what, he is his biggest contribution in this ball game. He had good stats. He had a touchdown run, I thought a well-executed play. He had four catches on this, but his biggest contribution, and it has been this last half of the season, I think right now he's playing as well as any player on this offense. His big contribution has been in pass and run protection, blocking. But he has really, really come along that last half of this year. He's clearly, they no longer start four wide receivers, but play four wide receivers. They got him in that ball game a lot. Stays comes in there a lot, but he has really had a big time year. And as I've said, I think he's playing as anybody on this offense right now.
Let's talk about that TD just a little bit here. It was a jumbo package, which means it's on the goal line, extra tight ends. Kinselman was aligned in the backfield. All right. Georgia went to a gaps goal line late. They stemmed down to it, which means they filled the gaps, walked a linebacker up into the gap. Now, Nico has an opportunity to check out of that play if you get gaps defense like that. He chose not to because he knew they had a mismatch on the inside against that linebacker that had walked up into that gap. So he stayed with the play. The thing that Kinselman did, realizing they were in gaps defense, which means it's low man wins, everybody was down root hogging on defense, he went over the top. Really good play.
You know, thing on that, Mac, was the only defender that could have tackled him, stopped him from that, was a safety. Well, Kitzelman is a 230, 240-pound player. He was going to knock him back anyway. It was well executed, no doubt.
Dylan Sampson continues to impress. On that touchdown run, gosh, Doug, you just see the strength and power that he runs with.
Well, this young man is a special player. He's very underrated as a pass protector. That's where his game has really grown a whole lot. He's aware of who to block. He's a runner. He's a receiver. He's a blocker. And he is a big-time football player.
He's a horse. He's a horse, and he steps up. He steps up every time he's asked to do something. And the thing that I like about him is he's consistent. He's consistent. Coach Matthews has brought up this point before, which I think needs to be reiterated one more time. Very seldom can I remember a time watching him carry the ball where he finishes with his head behind his feet. He's always going forward. This is a really good football player.
The next guy coming up is Peyton Lewis. Great future. Pass protection is what he is lacking right now, and that is not unusual. I talked about all those twists they were seeing. As the game went along, even when he was in the ball game, and he's going to be being there 10, 15 snaps from now on and in the future, but even more than that, he had problems picking up those blitzes. So when they had to throw the ball, they had to put Sampson back in there. But this young man has speed, 100-meter champion in Virginia. He's physical, and as I said, he is next in line of big-time backs.
Pass blocking for running backs is a learned skill. It's a coach-learned skill. He will pick that up, but he's got two things that he has naturally and that it's you can't coach this. His physicality is number one. When you've got a guy that's got that kind of speed but has also got a physical nature, you can teach him to do a lot of those other nuanced things as far as pass protection. This kid's really going to be a good back.
Tablet, clicker, game film. You're in the coach's meeting. Coach to coach, driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
When the arena lights dim for a concert, or when the crowd becomes one at a big game, you can almost feel like you're the biggest fan. But who's your biggest fan? It's the person that will get you home safely after a night of drinking. It's the person who looks out for your life to make sure you leave the stadium with someone sober. This could be a designated driver or someone who offers to get you a rideshare. Because in Tennessee, fans don't let fans drive drunk. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, a division of the Tennessee Department of Safety and Homeland Security.
There are a lot of physical therapists in Tennessee, and you don't want to go to a therapist. You want to choose the therapist that is right for you. This is Charles Davis. I had injuries in my playing days and valued the importance of a quality rehab program. I know and trust these folks, which is why I would choose Star when in Tennessee, and you should too. Their clinicians have world-class advanced training to make them great mechanics of the human body and to get you better fast. Find a Star location near you at starpt.com.
You know, starting to save for your future doesn't have to be difficult. Let Wilson Bank and Trust help tone up your financial goals this year. Our certificates of deposits or CDs can help your money work harder with our competitive rates, earning you more than ever before. WBT checking options allow you to earn rewards you can really use, like a high interest rate or cash back on check card purchases when you meet some e-banking qualifications. Visit your closest Wilson Bank and Trust office or online at wilsonbank.com to get started today. Member FDIC.
When it's time for the big game, big fans need big TVs, and at Double Dogs, you can even satisfy big appetites. With choices like black Angus burgers, wings tossed in homemade sauces, and dog bowl nachos, well, Double Dogs will make sure you get the fuel you need for lunch, dinner, or even a post-game snack. So whether you have two legs or four, you can cheer on and chow down at Double Dogs. Visit DoubleDogs.biz to view the menu and order online. Double Dogs, sit, stay, eat.
SEC action Saturday, Florida hosting Ole Miss. Gators should have a bit of swagger after the way they handled LSU a week ago, but their secondary will be tested.
Yeah, and again, Florida's got to have to be able to limit Dart's big plays. They must win first and second down. Put Dart in long throw, must throw situations on third down. And here's what Florida cannot do. They can't let Dart progress the chains and stay ahead of them. They've got to be able to win the chain game, Florida's defense does, because it goes in your favor defensively when you take away the conflict downs.
I'll add one thing to that. I would not want to be playing Florida right now. They are playing really, really well. That freshman quarterback, Lagway, has come in. And listen, you play them down in the swamp late in the year right now, you know, again, I would not want to be a team, no matter how good I was, playing that group right now.
Dart 25 touchdowns, just 4 interceptions. That's an 11 o'clock kick in the swamp. UMass and Georgia also in the early window Saturday. Breaking down the coach-to-coach lessons from the Tennessee defensive performance Saturday, multiple tight ends in this game, giving the Vols defense some issues.
Well, they used condensed, Georgia did, 2 and 3 man, and I call them 9-ball stacks. And 9-ball stacks, if you've ever racked up a 9-ball when you're playing on the pool table, it's a short triangle. It's a 9-ball stack is what they do. And they use the tight ends, or they can bring safeties, wide receivers down in there at tight, to confuse the eye discipline of the linebackers and the safeties and their man pickups. They played 12 and 13 personnel, involved multiple tight ends. That tight end triangle, or those tight 9-ball stacks versus man-to-man, Vols had trouble sorting them out. There's a lot of ways you can play it on defense, and you've got to decide early. If you work on it going in, you can box it, which means you're playing 4-on-3, which is a zone. You take them high inside, high outside, low inside, low outside, or you can press it, the front man and the other two play banjo on those other two receivers. But you have to be able to communicate fast. It has to be quick. And this tactic starts with alignment and eye discipline that they're putting on the defenders.
Now, we're seeing a lot of this now. We see it a lot in the pro football. Matter of fact, Titans run a good bit of this. But it's that bunch set. You know, Matt calls it a 9-ball stack. It's that bunch set of those three in there. Two of them are always tight, and they're in tight. They're not out wide. Other teams have tried to do this. I'm sure this is why Georgia did it, because they saw on tape that Tennessee didn't handle it very well. Now, here's the thing, though. Not many teams have the tight ends. You know, just lining a big body up in there doesn't do it. But Georgia has the tight ends, and that's part of their offense and their recruiting strategy, quite frankly. They recruit several tight ends. So, again, not many teams can do it. Georgia was able to do it, and it gave Tennessee problems all the time, all game long. One of the things that even made it even tougher was they would line them up on one side and then shift to the other. Well, now you got to make sure you're moving everybody over. You got everybody covered. And both the touchdowns, quite frankly, that Georgia scored on Tennessee, the tight end, they were wide open. Mack and I could have thrown and caught both of them.
Conflict downs. If somebody puts a bigger package in there, which multiple tight ends are, as a defensive signal caller, I mean, now you've got to decide. If it's 50-50, do I put my bigger people in there? Because on a conflict down where I have to play run-pass equally, I need somebody in there to stop the run if they do that. Then they start scatter releasing those players, and all of a sudden, out of that personnel grouping, you have some guys playing out in space and trying to sort through that 9-ball break that they're not used to.
Tennessee has put another linebacker in to take out one of their defensive backs. Well, their base is a 4-man front, 2 linebackers, and 5 secondaries. So now they got to go to 3 linebackers, and that is an area, quite frankly, of depth that Tennessee, when they put their 3rd linebacker in, he's not nearly as good as that 5th defensive back. But that's what they force you to do, and Georgia was excellent in execution. Tennessee was not nearly good enough in coverage, especially in the passing game.
Well, vertical routes, especially down the seam of the coverage by the Georgia tight ends, resulted in touchdowns, both from the high and the low red zone. And usually that's poor eye discipline in man coverage from the linebackers and poor directional delivery keys by the safeties, especially in too deep. Now, one of those throws was 2-man, and the linebacker was in great coverage. That was a great throw. They just got beat on that, but on a couple of those, what happens is if the safety's in too deep coverage and you've got a middle runner as a linebacker going vertical, if one of those safeties starts leaning the other way, That's all they. That's all a quarterback needs. And Beck was hot. He was hot. And so if they can hit that sweet spot, they win.
Well, that play you're talking about, Beck's first touchdown, that was extremely well covered by the linebacker.
Yeah.
It was just a great throw and catch. On that one, I can tell you, from a secondary coach, coordinator, you say, hey, guys, hey, we got beat by a great throw. Now, let's talk a little bit about eye discipline. Sometimes we talk about terms that are coaching terms, but eye discipline is pretty simple. And let's just talk secondary right now. On every play, the first thing you have to know is it a run or pass? And that's going to determine where your eyes go to either watch who's blocking or watch whoever the player is that you have to cover. The problem comes into when it's a play action pass and you take just a little step up or you watch, you don't get your eyes back on that wide end and that wide receiver or tight end. In this particular ball game, Tennessee's secondary, and one of them was a freshman who was in there. Their eyes did not go from that quarterback to that receiver that they're supposed to cover, and he become wide open. In other words, his eyes stayed on that running game instead of what his responsibility is. Your number one job as a secondary player is to defend the pass. You're not a linebacker. You're not supposed to stop the run at the line of scrimmage. You're back there. There's a reason why you're called a safety. You're a safety. And in both those instances, the safety that was is responsible for covering that tight end in man coverage took his eyes off of that tight end, put it on the running back or the quarterback, and that was what is able, again, that the play was wide open. It's just throwing catch like you're warming up before a game.
In all of my meeting rooms, all the years that I coached, I had the one sign that I had constantly was always eyes before feet. Because if you don't know what you're looking at, every snap and every defense, you have something particular to look at with your eyes, whether you're watching the center guard triangle, whether you're in man-to-man, as coach says, you got to keep your eye on your man. If you violate that eye discipline early on, then you're always going to be playing catch-up football on defense, and you can't afford to do that. That's what eye discipline is. I used to tell them, the players used to say all the time, keep your eye on your luggage. Like when you're in the airport, keep your eye on your luggage. You've got to know what you're looking at, when you're looking at it, and how to react off of it. If you veer from that, you've got a problem.
We really saw in this game Carson Beck with time to throw, number one. Number two, a willingness to use his legs to either extend the play or, in his own way, make the play.
All right, a lot of credit. I would say most of the credit goes to Georgia's offensive line. Remember, previous week they were embarrassed. They didn't play very well. And I'm sure that they thought about that and were told about that all week. Much of the credit, though, goes to that offensive line and those tight ends, both good because they block really well. Tight bunch sets that we talked about. Excellent pass protection. Just think about this. Georgia threw the ball 40 times, had 43 pass calls on this. Zero takeaways, zero sacks, zero quarterback hurries on 43 pass calls from a front that is one of the best in the Southeastern Conference.
And we had not seen Beck really willing to use his legs, but Dave, big play in the second quarter. He gets the first down, and it almost kind of seemed to ignite Georgia's offense.
Well, Beck operated at a high efficiency in a big game. He was accurate. Then he took advantage of rush lanes vacated by the defensive line, flipped the field, especially that play that you are talking about, Larry, and that flipped a lot of momentum, too. This was Carson Beck's best game that he played this year.
There's no doubt in my mind that part of Tennessee Coach Banks' defensive strategy was, which I fully understand. Listen, he did not run the ball much. At all, and when he did, it was normally when he was forced out of the pocket. He kept the one good big run that he had, that kept a touchdown drive alive. That was third down at about, 12-13, and he picked that up. Two evenly matched teams, and these teams were pretty evenly matched. If your quarterback is not willing to run the football, you're in big games. You don't have to run them every ball game. In big games, Tennessee, Nico did the exact same thing. He picked up some key first and tens. But in today's football, with defenses the way they play, if your quarterback cannot pick up key yardage for you, he doesn't have to be a sprinter. He's got to be able to pick up some key third downs for you. And, again, that was a big part of this game. Carson Beck, the way – and, he's a guy that's played a lot of football, a lot of big games.
What do you believe that Tim Banks' message to his defense this week has been?
I don't think there's any question. Number one, you got to flush the previous game. You got to flush the previous play. Now, I will say this. A lot of times the players can flush it more so than the coaches can after a ball game. But, guys, we need to keep working on fundamentals. We got to overwork them. And, obviously, we're going to have to spend a lot of time on that bunch tight end set. Now, this game this week, UTEP, that's not going to be a problem. But you know who runs a lot of this? Vanderbilt runs a lot of the same type offense. And the quarterback keeping the ball inside the tackle box, that is a big part of Vanderbilt's scheme. Tennessee will be working on Vanderbilt defensively all week this week. But again, if they don't figure out what they're going to do and don't get their team together on those tight end sets and those misdirection passes, they're going to have a tough game defensively next Saturday.
Get inside the huddle. McGinnis, Matthews, and you. Coach to Coach. Driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
When the arena lights dim for a concert, or when the crowd becomes one at a big game, you can almost feel like you're the biggest fan. But who's your biggest fan? It's the person that will get you home safely after a night of drinking. It's the person who looks out for your life to make sure you leave the stadium with someone sober. This could be a designated driver or someone who offers to get you a rideshare. Because in Tennessee, fans don't let fans drive drunk. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, a division of the Tennessee Department of Safety and Homeland Security.
Whether you're a big-time college coach or run a business, success demands five-star talent. The same is true for your heavy lifting equipment. Hi, I'm Dwayne Hardy from Forklift Systems. Our team will perform a free productivity, safety, and cost analysis of your fleet. We'll identify your MVPs and let you know which equipment to trade or cut. Remember, if you're not improving, your competition is. Win championships with your customers. Visit ForkliftSystems.com today.
At Great Clips, they know you got a lot going on just like I have. That's why they save my haircut details and clip notes, so I can get the same haircut as the last time whenever I want. No stress, no worries, no questions asked. And with 60 salons in the Middle Tennessee area, it's easy to find a Great Clips location near you. I've been a client of Great Clips for over 10 years, and if you're looking for a great cut, simply download their online check-in app today. Great Clips, it's going to be great.
Hey there, I've been hired by the Tennessee Lottery to celebrate every time there's a
woohoo!
A winner across the state. Truthfully, it's a little more work than I expected. I had no
woohoo!
Idea that Tennessee Lottery players win an average of $3.6 million every day. That's
woohoo!
A whole lot of moolah. So play today for your chance to win
woohoo!
Big. The Tennessee Lottery, game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
Woohoo!
Coach to Coach, getting you prepared for Tennessee and Texas El Paso. Also Saturday, Texas Longhorns, Kentucky Wildcats. Everybody talking about that A&M game. So is this a trap game? Well, you might feel better about that if Kentucky's defense were healthier. They are banged up. Texas scoring 37 per game. That might not be a good recipe. South Carolina hosts Wofford. Arkansas battles Louisiana Tech. Missouri and Mississippi State face off in Starkville. Eli Drinkwitz says his team has got to start faster. That's become an increasing issue for the Tigers. As for UTEP Saturday, Miners 2-8. They lost big to Nebraska to open the season. A couple of wins over Kennesaw State and FIU. Scotty Walden is the head coach.
Yeah, and I like this. I like this young coach. When he was at Austin Peay, I had visited with him. He's had offensive success as a coach going back to his assistant days. And it's a high-tempo RPO offense. Very productive and successful at Austin Peay. It's a fast-paced offense. Excellent production his entire career. That's why he has advanced at a young age. This is a high-tempo offense, and he knows how to run it. And his players have confidence in it.
Quarterback Skylar Locklear is 67% passer, 9 touchdowns. He has thrown 5 interceptions. But he is a running quarterback. He's plus 200 yards rushing this year. So, again, he'll be someone that will be presenting a problem on that for Tennessee defense.
Dave, what do you see with playmakers on this UTEP team?
Larry, I'm going to give you two that stand out when you start watching the tape. Number six, wide receiver Kenny Odom, 5'8", 163, smaller, quicker dudes out in space, 36 catches. He's a sophomore, 642 yards, 17.6 average. So there's clearly some clear view throws that you look at. Seven touchdowns, a long of 76. He's got the speed. Number five, Cam Thomas, 5'7", 184. He's a junior. Both smaller, quicker receivers. He's got 43 receptions, 442 yards, 10.3 yard average, two touchdowns, long of 47. This is what it is. It's a wide open offense.
Offensive line, kind of interesting in this era of transfer portal. That's what Coach Walden's taken advantage of. Their five offensive line starters and their top two backups, their top seven players, transfer portal players. And, again, several of them came with him from Austin Peay, so know this system. Now, they're significantly smaller than Tennessee's front. They should have a tough day up front, but they're experienced players that probably aren't going to make many mistakes.
Defensively, Texas El Paso, a team that's giving up 29 points per game.
They play an aggressive combination front. It's a 4-2-5 multiple defense. But playing defense behind a high-tempo offense, you need space athletes that are being able to play and play quick. They also have to be in really good condition. That's what you have if you're playing behind a fast-paced offense like this is. There's seven leading tacklers. To my point, when you start going through it, their seven leading tacklers are linebackers and safeties. So the multiple 4-2-5, that's what they do.
Defensively now, they're not a bad football team. They only give up 212 yards a game in passing. They have 10 interceptions, and they have 25 sacks. So, Mac, just the reason that those linebackers and some of their corners and safeties in particular are sack guys is because they're going to blitz well on that. Corey Chapman, let's talk a little bit about a couple of their best secondary guys. Corey Chapman is their nickel back, all right, that fifth defensive back. He is third in tackles. He is a blitzer. He has 11 tackles for losses, and he has three sacks. That's out of the secondary. Their second best player back there, a safety, Russell Lance. He has two sacks. He has two interceptions. He has five tackles for losses. Now, when you see secondary players that have significantly number of sacks and tackles for losses, they ain't doing that from 5 yards or 7 yards deep in the secondary. They are coming, and you can bet they're going to be bringing a lot of pressure. After last week, watching that Georgia game, that is the only chance that UTEP has defensively in this game is to pressure the quarterback.
Number zero, Maurice Westmoreland, is a senior. The defensive end, 6'2", 250. He's got 37 tackles on the season, which is very active, and 4.5 sacks. So that's their stud up front.
Obviously, bouncing back is part of the storyline in this game. Coaching staff wants to see a team that takes care of its business. Doug, that's something that Josh Heupel teams have traditionally done well in these kinds of matchups.
No doubt, and listen, if you have to want to bounce back from a tough loss, this is a team that you want to be playing, a team like this. I mean, Tennessee is a huge favorite in this. I will say this, though, when we talk about bounce-back games, I'm sure Coach Heupel talked to his team about this staff. Again, you look at the statistics. Let's go back to the Georgia game was not a game that Tennessee lost. Guys, we just got beat in this ball game. Fewer penalties. I only had six penalties in this ball game. Didn't have a single turnover until that last one, which didn't make any difference. You know, they just got beat by a better football team. Fundamentally, Tennessee was good. Georgia was just better. So it's not so much a bounce-back game in that way, but it is a bounce-back game from, hey, we got to get back and get back on a winning trend. And again, how are we playing fundamentally? But again, I'm going to keep emphasizing this. Tennessee did not have a bad fundamental game against Georgia. They just got outperformed, and they got beat by a better football team.
Well, this is one of these types of games, if you're Tennessee, you can't wait to get back to work on the practice field. You played a really good team at their place, and you played a good football game and got beat. So just go back to work. That's what you want to do, and that's what this team will do.
amazing moments, special players, stories you may not know. Doug Matthews, Checkerboard Chronicle.
Ken Donahue, Vols defensive coordinator from 1985 to 1988. Ken grew up in Corinton, Tennessee. That's right outside Knoxville. Played for General Nealon in the early 50s. Was a legendary, and I say that in all caps, defensive coordinator for Bear Bryant. The defensive coordinator for all six national championships that Bear Bryant had at Alabama. Came back to Tennessee after being fired by Ray Perkins when Bear Bryant retired. Thank you, Coach Perkins. 1985, Sugar Vols constructed a defense that was tremendous from start to finish. Last nine games that year, Tennessee's defense gave up 17 points, 14 points, 6, 0, 7, 14, 0, 0, 7. Six games of 6 points or less to end the season and put Tennessee in the Sugar Bowl. And let's talk about that Sugar Bowl. That last game, that last 7-point game, that included the Sugar Bowl, 34-7 win over number 2 Miami in one of the great defensive games and strategy games and game plan games anywhere, any place. He was nicknamed by his defensive players Crowbar. Why? Because he was stubborn. And as they say, he was hard-headed. They loved him, though. I was on the staff of that 85 team, and without the addition of Coach Ken Donahue, we, in my opinion, we're at very best an 8-3 team, probably a 7-4 team. Ken Donahue, the best assistant coach, and the Vols have had a number of outstanding assistant coaches, without question in my mind, at the University of Tennessee.
Timeout call. Back to the analysis next. Coach to Coach, driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
When the arena lights dim for a concert, or when the crowd becomes one at a big game, you can almost feel like you're the biggest fan. But who's your biggest fan? It's the person that will get you home safely after a night of drinking. It's the person who looks out for your life to make sure you leave the stadium with someone sober. This could be a designated driver or someone who offers to get you a rideshare. Because in Tennessee, fans don't let fans drive drunk. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, a division of the Tennessee Department of Safety and Homeland Security.
When it's time for the big game, big fans need big TVs, and at Double Dogs, you can even satisfy big appetites. With choices like Black Angus Burgers, wings tossed in homemade sauces, and dog bowl nachos, well, Double Dogs will make sure you get the fuel you need for lunch, dinner, or even a post-game snack. So whether you have two legs or four, you can cheer on and chow down at Double Dogs. Visit DoubleDogs.biz to view the menu and order online. Double Dogs, sit, stay, eat.
Bucks, cash, bread, coin, dough, bank, loot, cheddar, whatever you call it, the cash instant games from the Tennessee Lottery have lots of it. Four great games absolutely loaded to the brim with top prizes from $50 to $1,000. Now that's a whole lot of cabbage, moolah, cheese, dinero, Benjamins, well, you get the idea. Only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
You know, starting to save for your future doesn't have to be difficult. Let Wilson Bank and Trust help tone up your financial goals this year. Our certificates of deposits or CDs can help your money work harder with our competitive rates, earning you more than ever before. WBT checking options allow you to earn rewards you can really use, like a high interest rate or cash back on check card purchases when you meet some e-banking qualifications. Visit your closest Wilson Bank and Trust office or online at wilsonbank.com to get started today. Member FDIC.
Tennessee and UTEP Saturday at Neyland Stadium, and it is Senior Day. This is Coach to Coach Saturday night in the SEC. Texas A&M battles Auburn. Can the Tigers run it effectively? Auburn is 4-0 when they rush for more than 150 yards. They are 0-6 when they do less. A&M has had some issues against the run. 6:30 kickoff. Alabama visits Oklahoma. The Sooners hopeful that a week off will help a struggling offense.
And they're going up against a team now that is playing their very best of the year, Alabama. Alabama is really playing at a high level right now. A lot of it has to do with their secondary. They had some injuries on up there right now. But right now that they play a lot of zone and some matchup man zone, probably more matchup man zone than pure zone. This secondary right now is playing at an extremely high level for Alabama.
Sooners 5 SEC losses by an average of 17 points. Vanderbilt is on the road to LSU. Marcel Reed, Jalen Milroe, both made big plays from the quarterback spot in the run game against the Tigers defense. That may be one of the keys if LSU wants to stop its losing skid. 6:45 kickoff Saturday night. Big game on the national schedule, Indiana and Ohio State. Dave McGinnis, what do you make of the Hoosiers' run this season?
Excellent job by the first-year head coach in the Big Ten, Kurt Cignetti. He's utilized the transfer portal as well as anybody in collegiate football. Regardless of opponent, he has won, and he's won big, and he's won consistently, something nobody has done in a long time at Indiana.
Well, it's a great example of using the transfer portal. And this, listen, this is historical. The way that they're playing for this Indiana team. Coach Cignetti has built a team a lot through transfer portal players. Many of them played for him at his previous coaching job. Very solid fundamental team. That's the key thing with it. They play fundamental sound football. They got a quarterback that can run. And again, being undefeated at this time of year for Indiana, historical.
They run a spread offense, and the scheme, he's got excellent, excellent quarterback play. Curtis Rourke, number 9, a senior, 6'5", 223, 72% completions, over a 10-yard average, 21 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. This guy's the catalyst for this team.
I'm interested to see how Ohio State's offense, more importantly, Indiana's defense, can they keep the Hoosiers off the field or in the ball game? Well, I think that's going to be the key. I'm sure what Coach Cignetti is going to tell this team to do is let's get it into the fourth quarter, and that will give us an opportunity to win. By the way, both of his transfer portal players came from James Madison. What was James Madison the last couple of years? National champion. So these guys have played, not in the Power 4 level, Power 5 level, but these guys have played in championship ball games. They know how to play in big ball games.
The Winning Numbers, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. The Tennessee Lottery is proud to have raised more than $7.5 billion for education in Tennessee.
The number is 17.8. Average yards per play for UTEP's Kenny Odom. He's capable of making those big plays.
Yeah, it's a high-tempo offense. It gives these smaller receivers a chance to get the ball in space quickly and produce yards. This guy's got 7 touchdowns, long of 76. You're going to have to spot tackle him.
The number is 64%. Against Nebraska, UTEP's defense could not get off the field. Huskies were 11 of 17 on third down.
Well, Tennessee's approach, offensively, they simply have to find a way to get the passing game going. If they don't, now this game's not going to be a problem, but this offense all year, they just have not been able to consistently get the passing game going. And quite frankly, they also need in this ball game to get some of those 20, 25 offensive linemen some vital experience. Tennessee loses 5 of their top 6 offensive linemen next year. So that's going to be the key. And again, I expect we're going to see that.
Coach to coach, driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office. In Tennessee, fans don't let fans drive drunk. Podcast the show now and catch up before kickoff, where you find podcasts. Coach to coach.